Training Our Puppy Mind by Heidi Smith, a mindfulness trainer and consultant, and Virginia's mindfulness lessons from the last 10 months with her puppy, Franklin. I will read the blog post and Virginia will read her lessons. I've often heard meditation compared to training a puppy. I never fully appreciated this metaphor until now. We welcomed little Leo, a 2-month-old Bernese Mountain Dog, into our home in December of 2020. I imagined endless hours of puppy cuddling, long walks in the woods, and playing fetch. However, the reality has included endless hours of picking up poop, redirecting from gnawed furniture legs, and rescuing my favorite leather boots. Over and over and over again. This has led to many rounds of self-doubt, frustration, and wondering if I was cut out for this.
Lesson one, being present. Franklin, our 14-month-old Tibetan Terrier, keeps me firmly rooted in the present moment. If I get distracted or if I'm not paying close attention, there is a very good chance he will wander off and get into something he shouldn't, or begin chewing on something right in front of me that he shouldn't. Franklin is always in the present moment. He's astonished on a regular basis by new sounds, smells, sights, people. And this constant state of discovery has renewed my ability to notice my surroundings more regularly and more clearly. Lesson two, letting go of things. With a puppy, one has to make peace with the fleeting nature of any object that may be in the puppy's path. It is a lesson in impermanence. When Franklin is tearing into a new pair of shoes, ripping holes in a bedspread, or digging up the landscaping that was just planted in the backyard. As I'm writing this, he's tearing the lining from the underside of our living room couch. True story. Lesson three, loving kindness. There are times when Franklin does or doesn't do something that is irritating, and I may begin to place blame or feel resentful. When I am able to remember the humanity in myself and in others, it's easier to forgive or at least forbear Franklin's puppy behaviors and or the fact that we even have a puppy at all. A sort of loving kindness practice, if you will.
We start with the seemingly simple intention to focus. Oops, sorry.
Start back up again.
Okay. Self-doubt, frustration, and wondering if I was cut out for this is very similar to the experience of many new meditation practitioners. Often people seek meditation to reduce stress, escape the busy world, and cultivate a sense of peacefulness. However, for some, the exact opposite occurs. When we close our eyes, we discover the chaotic, puppy-like nature of the untrained mind. We start with the seemingly simple intention to focus on the breath, and within seconds, the mind has darted off on some tangent, like a puppy chasing a squirrel. With some mild irritation, we call the mind back to the breath. Within seconds, the puppy brain darts away again, like a dog with a bone. Many will find this repetition frustrating and doubt their ability to meditate. I often hear, "I just can't meditate," or "it's not relaxing," or "I don't see the point, it feels like a waste of time." If you view meditation like training a puppy, it becomes obvious that it can be frustrating at first. The puppy doesn't know any better, it's just doing what puppies do. It's the same for the mind. Our minds wander and get distracted by emotional bones. It takes time and patience and repetition and celebration. Each time you notice your mind has wandered, it's like a tiny celebration. You have fetched your attention and brought it back. As mindfulness expert Jon Kabat-Zinn says, if your mind wanders 1,000 times, you simply bring it back 1,000 times. You gently and firmly guide the puppy mind back to its sitting position. Sit, stay. And when it wanders, sit, stay. And again, sit, stay.
Lesson 4, patience. Throughout the last 10 months with Franklin, I have developed a greater capacity for genuine patience. Remembering to breathe in, breathe out. And reminding myself that he is a puppy. He's just a baby. And remarkably, Franklin also has the ability to be patient and the capacity to trust us to follow through on our promises to him. There's a reciprocal relationship that develops over time and with consistency. Lesson 5, letting go of expectations. Along with letting go of things, I also need to be okay with letting go of expectations. For how long the evening walk might take, for what a room in our house is going to look like for the next year or so, and for when Franklin will mature and stop chewing on truly everything, and so on. Ultimately, there's only so much we can do, and keeping a lighthearted, open-minded, loving attitude is going to be better in the long run than grasping at what we wish was happening or wish we could have done, or what was going to happen, or wishing it was going to be different than it is. We might as well choose that path of less suffering and just enjoy the journey.
So what's the payoff for all this work? Well, it's easy to see for the puppy. Training is critical to have order, safety, and peacefulness in the home. Of course, the same is true for a well-trained mind. Eventually, over time with practice, focus improves. Your time between wanderings reduces. We also know that in as short as 8 weeks of regular meditation practice, you can see changes in brain physiology. The alarm center of the brain, called the amygdala, begins to shrink. The amygdala is responsible for our fight, flight, freeze automatic response. A smaller amygdala has been associated with less reactivity to stress. Therefore, your ability to sit with discomfort increases. Just like teaching a puppy to sit, we can teach the mind to sit, even in difficult situations. When dealing with difficult emotions, we can practice holding them with a sense of acceptance and kindness rather than acting out or running away, fight or flight. With continued practice, we learn to respond rather than react to stress, emotions, or challenging situations. So I leave you with this question. Are you willing to put in the time to pick up the poop and to spend endless hours redirecting and learning the distractions of the mind? The end result might just be your new best friend, a well-trained, loyal, and loving mind. Or at the very least, you may create a space with a little less chaos and a little more peace at the end of the day.
Excuse me. Lesson 6, allowing the experience of joy. Having a puppy can also be a very joyful experience. As much as there are frustrations and challenges, there's also the opportunity for daily gratitude and moments of pure joy. Puppies are arguably some of the cutest creatures on the planet. And I suppose I'm a little bit biased because I think Franklin is among the cutest. His crooked smile and his occasional goofy underbite, along with his exuberant spirit and endless curiosity, provide opportunities for joy on a regular basis. And finally, lesson 7. And I'm going to be crying during this one, and I apologize. A path to healing. This time a year ago, we had already lost one of our two beloved dogs, Winnie. And we were about to enter the surprisingly final weeks with Scout. After only about a month of nightly neighborhood walks without a leash in our hands, my partner Melissa convinced me to agree to adopting another puppy. This decision and Franklin's energetic arrival did not lessen our sadness nor take away our grief. We love and miss Winnie and Scout so much, and we always will. But Franklin's affection, his sensitivity, and his playfulness have helped heal both of our hearts. He has opened us up to new experiences and new ways to celebrate the bond that we feel, the one that often forms between humans and their canine companions. In fact, the love that we feel for Franklin after less than a year with him leaves me astounded at our capacity to have our hearts broken over and over again, and then healed again in equal measure. We are grateful for all of it. May we all be fortunate enough to be a guardian or a friend, as Reverend Soto says, such a source of boundless love at some point in our lives. May it be so.